Well, good afternoon. Here it is Wednesday, 1:15. It's good to be able to be together. We've been talking about the subject of zeal and the importance of zeal in our walk with the Lord. And so just touching kind of a way to, bring us up to speed, we talked about zeal as the Bible talks about a fervency, about having a fervent spirit or a zealous spirit. Fervency is a heart filled with the thrill of God and with a further to do something for God. It's a heart that's set on fire for God. And that would be the desire of us as Christians, that our hearts would be set on fire for the Lord, that we might be able to serve him and bring honor and glory to his name. We used 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 16 as we started, and it's referencing a man named Jehu. Jehu speaking, and he says, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. Jehu was a man that had great zeal for the Lord. He desired to live for him. He desired the importance of the things of God. He was excited about the things of God. He put forth great effort to serve the Lord. Matter of fact, it says in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 20 that there were men watching on the wall, and they watched the riders as they came in. And the watchman told, saying, "He came even unto them and cometh not again, and the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously." He was about getting the job done. He was about applying himself as much as he could that he might see some great things done for the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10, the wisest man who ever lived instructs us to operate in this manner. He says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And so we ought to have a zeal about us. We ought to allow that zeal to consume us that we might be used for God's glory. One man with conviction is equal to 99 people with interest. We have too many folks that are interested in the things of God, but we don't have enough that have a conviction or a zeal to do the things of God. We talked about the story of David and Saul, how that David had gone forth and to see his brothers. When he got there, he found Goliath, and Goliath came down and challenged the people of Israel and said, "Send down a man that we may fight." And we find that, he had done this for 40 days. He came out twice a day, over 80 times. They had seen Goliath, and Goliath had basically scared all the men of Israel to death. They didn't want anything to do with this giant. They had their eyes on the giant. David, on the other hand, had had the last 40 days out in the field watching the sheep. He had been close to God. He had learned to trust God in every area of his life. And those solitude times out in the back country with the sheep were times that David used to draw closer to God. They were times that he would write songs and he would sing praises to the Lord. He learned to love his God while he was out in the sheepfold, out there watching the sheep. And so he comes and he is checking on his brothers. This giant pops out and makes his challenge. And David says, "Is there not a cause?" And of course, his brothers were upset. They wanted him to go home. They wanted him to get out of there. But David had been with God, and David realized that this uncircumcised Philistine should not stand and bring a reproach upon his God. And so he was willing to go and the fight. And of course, we know the story that David won a great victory that day, all because he was zealous about the things of God. He wasn't complacent. He didn't come to the point where it was about an existence. He had a great zeal in his heart to serve the Lord. And so we think about that word of zeal. Zeal accomplishes what none others will even try. The reason people don't accomplish anything is because they don't try it. Zeal is what makes us willing to make the effort to get anything done for God when it looks impossible. That conviction and character is what makes me willing when no one else will try. And so a zealot is an uncompromising partisan. A partisan is someone who has a definite position. To be uncompromising is to be unwilling to change your mind, to be unwilling to concede that what you believe. A zealot is also a fanatic. You know, we ought to be fanatics for the Lord. We ought to be concerned about the things of God. We ought to be fanatical when it comes to telling others about Christ, because our time here on this earth is short. And he's fanatic for God. A zealot or a zealous person is one who puts God first in his life and wants others to know about his great God. A zealot is happy about what he's doing. He's not just doing his duty, he's excited about it. I mean, this is it. There's nothing like it. There's something attractive about someone who's consumed with what he's doing and what he believes, and he's trying to convince others because of what he is doing. It's not just something that he's supposed to do. It's something he loves to do. It's something he wants to do. It's something he likes to do and thinks about doing and finds great pleasure in it. That's what zeal is. Zeal says, man, this is great. You need this. You have to have this. Someone says, let's talk about something else. I can't talk about anything else. Nothing else is important. That's zeal. The zealous person is the guy who is labeled as a fanatic. That's the difference between an average football player and a great football player. An average football player maybe has as many skills as a good football player or a great football player, but he's just content to play enough, just enough to get by, maybe to prolong his career another year or two, and he doesn't put his whole heart into it. And it's the same way with any athlete. Any athlete who's great has just sold out to the point that he's zealous about what he does. It comes to that in our life in so many areas, to become zealous, to really just sell out and give ourselves to God. John Wesley said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified, I would set the world on fire. He was talking about starting a revival that would sweep the world. In Acts chapter 2, there were 120 spirit-filled zealots. These people were zealous. They were filled with the Spirit of God because they were surrendered, submissive, and consecrated. But they had a holy zeal that burned in their hearts. They had a fervent spirit about them, and they turned the city of Jerusalem upside down. 3,000 were saved in one day. Do you know how they referred to Paul? They said, this nut has come here, and he's turned the whole world upside down. He has come to our city also. Everywhere he went, they either had a riot or they had a revival. Paul was zealous about the things of God. He loved God. He loved the things of God. And he shared God everywhere he went. The more he knew about Jesus, the more he shared Jesus everywhere he went. John Wesley was a great man used of God, but not because of his theology. He was certainly off in some important areas. God honored John Wesley because he had a great desire and great zeal. He had a fervency in his heart and spirit. John Wesley was denied the privilege of speaking from a pulpit in church, but this true evangelistic fervor showed through when he stepped up on his father's tombstone and preached a sermon. He preached the gospel in the graveyard in back of the church because they wouldn't let him in the pulpit. The zealot says, if I don't have a pulpit, I'll preach wherever I'm at. I'll preach on a street corner. I'll preach in someone's backyard. I'll preach anywhere I can. It is said of George Whitefield that he loved preaching out in the fields. It is said that there were times when 100,000 people would gather to hear him preach. His voice would be heard for 3 miles. Can you imagine that? Here he is in a field, 100,000 people, and his voice is able to be heard for 3 miles. It had to be a special anointing and working of God because he had a zeal in his heart to do the things of the Lord. As he grew old, he came home from a long journey. He had been preaching in the fields. He climbed the steps to his apartment, lit the candle, and was preparing for bed when a crowd gathered in the street to hear him preach. He stood out on the steps and preached with great fervency as his body was weary and tired. He put his candle out, went to bed, and never got up. He went on to glory. That was his last sermon. He preached with great heat and great fervency in his last hours. He was dying. He had maintained the same fervency. It wasn't because he was healthy. It wasn't because he was energetic. It wasn't because he felt good. There was something in his soul that he believed with conviction, and he was driven from within. He was consumed from within. There was a cause bigger than life. There was a driving force. That's what zeal and fervency are. John Knox, who cried with earnest plea, "God give me Scotland or I die," pursued that goal with a lifetime. When he was an older man and his health was gone, often he would have to be supported when he came to the pulpit. Someone would have to help him to get to the pulpit. But those who heard him preach, even in those days when he needed an escort to get to the pulpit, said that the divinely passion that filled his soul was so great and so mighty as he in his yearnings that he thought he would break the pulpit into bits. They thought he would literally crush the pulpit and break it into pieces because his preaching was so fervent when he was an old, decrepit man. There was still a zeal burning in his soul. David Livingstone said this of himself, "I found that I have no unusual talent or intelligence, but I this day resolved that I will be an uncommon Christian." He was going to operate with zeal. May God give us uncommon Christians in our generation. May God give us some uncommon preachers, someone that has a zeal burning in their soul and a fervency burning in their heart. May God give us that kind of zeal and fervor for the Lord. Well, I trust that you're going to have a great day and look forward to being with you tomorrow. I want you to know that we love you and pray that God will richly bless you. Have a great day. Amen.